Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
Welcome back to the second Great Big Hour of the Great Big Friday Show here on Catholic Answers Live. Delighted to have you with us. Thanks for being with us. And we are also delighted to be in Birmingham, Alabama, where we have found the warmest welcome you could possibly ask for. People are really nice in Birmingham, first of all, for just one thing. People are just very nice here. And then you get around all these Catholics who started radio stations or are running radio stations, and they do things like pray the rosary and go to daily mass. And these are very nice people to be around. It's been a real pleasure. This hour, we talk about thinking like Jesus, not just, in part, putting on the mind of Jesus, but also what does psychology tell us a bit about how to be faithful disciples? What does the scripture tell us about how a faithful disciple thinks about how to live? 888-318-7884 is the number. And you might have guessed Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest because he just wrote a book called Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. Dr. Ray, thank you for being with us.
Rather presumptuous, isn't it, Si?
What, thinking like Jesus?
To think I know what Jesus thinks like. Jesus. Oh, yeah, I interviewed him.
Yeah, he sat down with you for a while?
Teresa Tomeo's old enough to have interviewed him pretty much in person, but I'm not.
Whoa, Teresa's not here,
she's
is
not
she?
Here,
because
no.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay, we could say whatever we
Gallivant
want.
Gallivant somewhere on the other side of the universe.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So you're saying you might be unqualified to tell us exactly how Jesus thinks. That's very humble of you. But there is something that comes with the experience of walking with him and trying to be his disciple that doesn't, change the way you think about the world, change the way you interact with other people.
Psychology and Christianity butt heads. But sometimes they cooperate and hold hands.
Okay.
So the book
it's like
is,
marriage. Oh, sorry,
yeah,
Dr.
Yeah,
Ray.
Yeah. Yeah, we hope the percentage is a little is more the, in the hold hands side.
Okay, you know? Fair enough, yeah.
The book is about how can we take some psychological principles and apply them so that we can live as a more contented, peaceful person.
Right.
And most of this stuff has to do with getting along with other people.
I note that, at least in my reading of you and of your various works in this book, that if I am trying to fix other people, that is definitely going to be an obstacle to my thinking and being like Jesus.
There's an interesting phenomenon that happens here, Si.
Okay.
The people who distress us most,
yes,
are generally a small handful of folks. A mother, an adult child, an in-law, a brother, small handful.
Right.
And they do this over time so that our discontent with them grows. It's kind of like a Rolodex.
Oh,
you know, the
yeah.
Rolodex gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so they start to gain power to upset us even just by breathing. What tends to happen is a cumulative effect.
Right.
Okay, I can tolerate you for a year, maybe two. But, yeah. You know, you've been doing this for 12 years.
Now you're just,
I can't even stand the sight of you.
Yeah, right.
Well, in the chapter Close the Book, I say it should work exactly the reverse. If I know that you've been doing this for 12 years, if I know that you're just this obnoxious, opinionated, difficult human being.
Right.
You should have less power over me.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be getting worse in tolerating you. It should be getting easier to tolerate you, but it doesn't happen that way.
No.
I tend to give you all kinds of cumulative power
to
make me feel rotten. But you know, there's a scary thought there, Si.
What's the scary thought?
Well, of all the people I think are difficult, I have to wonder, How many of them think I'm difficult? That's a humbling thought, you know, if I say so myself.
Yeah, right. That is a humbling thought. Okay, so is this something that when you say thinking like Jesus then, I mean, how would, what's Jesus' answer, so to speak, to this?
Question for you.
Okay.
Is it easier or harder to forgive somebody who doesn't get to you as much?
It's easier.
It's easier.
Yes.
So if I can close the book, if I know that my mother-in-law makes snarky remarks about my parenthood, and she's been doing this ever since the kids were born, and they're now 27 and 25.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Is it easier for me to forgive her? Because now I know. I know what she's like. I know what she does. Mm-hmm. I've closed the book on her personality. I don't shun her. As a matter of fact, it's probably going to be easier to be around her because she doesn't have the power in her words anymore to distress me.
Therefore,
I don't have to work as hard to forgive her. I don't stress and stew and fret for a day and a half after spending Christmas Eve with her because she can't even make Christmas Eve nice because she's so obnoxious about my kids.
Right.
Well, I can look at it like, what do I expect? You know, Christmas
she's
Eve.
Gonna...
Yeah, it doesn't have a whole lot of difference in the way she acts, so it doesn't bother me anywhere near as much. That's the difference. It's easier to forgive.
I just
feel have to point these things out to you?
You do, actually.
Okay. Right.
You're not dealing with the cream of the crop here. 888-318-7884 is our number if you want to talk with Dr. Ray Grandy. The book is called Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. I can't tell you how many times, though, I hear this, and actually sometimes it's from my own children, maybe about someone they're having difficulty with. I just can't, though. I can't stand her. Or I just can't stand him.
That's because they've never gotten to the realization that that person is who they are, and you are not going to do anything about it, and that is them, and it's no reflection necessarily on you. Although you've got to ask yourself the question, is there any merit to what they're saying? See, we tend to think the more they're obnoxious, that I don't have to look at myself. My mother-in-law makes snarky remarks about my fatherhood. Okay, I can get to a point where I don't give those snarky remarks power, but that doesn't mean I don't ever consider that there could be truth in what she says. But let me get to the forgiveness thing.
Okay.
How many times did Jesus say to forgive?
77 times at least.
Seven. A whole
times.
Bunch. A whole bunch.
That's always sevens.
Right?
I'm not good with math, okay, Dr. A?
Whenever somebody asks you a scriptural question, you always just say seven or three.
Okay.
That's just kind of the way it is.
Occasionally there's a 12 thrown in
you can throw it. Now, I don't believe that. I have decided that I probably don't have to forgive at least 50% of the time. Maybe more. You know, I know Jesus says forgive all the time. I don't have to forgive all the time. I disagree with him on that. How am I going to get myself out of this one, right?
Yes.
All right. I shall explain.
Yeah.
I have come to the conclusion in my life that much of what I think I have to forgive was no offense. I took offense. I misread their motives.
Right.
I impugned to them something they didn't intend to do. And therefore, I thought, I'm a pretty magnanimous guy. I'm supposed to forgive them. Okay, I'll forgive that particular piece of behavior that clearly was intended to offend me.
Right.
But it wasn't. It wasn't. And the more sensitive and hyper-offended I am, the less I have to forgive, because there's nothing to forgive. It's in psychological midair.
You know, something happened to me recently. I'll confess to you.
Yeah, you can do this because I'm a psychologist, but I want you to know the meter is running.
Okay, but my son, who our last child at home, I can never find the TV remote after he's been in the living room. I can never, I don't know how, he has some mysterious power to hide this thing. So I'm always grumbling at him inwardly. He goes away for a few days, maybe almost a week, a little while ago. And about 3 days after he's gone, I realize I still have not been able to find the remote. Apparently it wasn't him who was doing it. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about? That I'm just assuming he's this, I don't know. He doesn't care.
There you go. You took a personal.
Right.
He doesn't care. I've asked him. He apparently doesn't care about my wishes.
Right.
He's going to turn around and do this anyway.
Yeah.
But wait a minute. I'm a Christian.
I'll forgive
him. I'm going to forgive him.
Yeah.
Isn't that magnanimous of me?
I know. What a good father.
Well, you were the obnoxious one the whole time.
It was me.
It was you. That's right.
It was me the whole time.
And
so
I think you have to be aware always to ask yourself the question, is there anything really to forgive here? Or is this my reaction based on nothing?
Right, right. Are there tricks for getting the kind of psychological space to do that?
Yeah, by the book.
By the book.
The big trick.
So the main thing you're saying is if I want to think like Jesus, I should buy the book Thinking Like Jesus from Dr. Ray Grenzen.
It's a good start. It's a good start. What was Nat King Cole's... Now, Tom Price is here in our audience. He would know this. He knows this exactly. What was Nat King Cole's signature song?
I know this. I think his daughter Natalie did it with
him. That's
right. And I'm forgetting.
That's right. Here comes Tom.
It's Unforgettable.
That's right.
I was forgetting Unforgettable.
You were.
Tom Price, pick up that microphone. I knew you knew before me, didn't you?
Unforgettable.
Unforgettable.
In every way.
Christians should sing a similar song.
Okay.
Unoffendable.
Ah, yeah.
Of all people, we should be the hardest to offend. Why? Because when you get offended, you are demanding your rights.
Right. That's
how
right.
dare they do that to me? How dare she say that about me?
Right.
Obviously, that's not true. I'm not that kind of person. How could she think that?
Uh-huh.
Of all people, we should be least easily offended.
Right.
Sometimes we're the most easily offended. Because why? Because we have this inflated holy sense of ourselves.
They don't
recognize what kind of a good person I am.
What's wrong with them?
That's exactly
what is wrong
right.
with them?
What is wrong with them?
Yes. Yeah. I've noticed that on the freeways in California. People don't...
They don't recognize
that what a holy person is driving my car. And they'll cut me off.
You got your bumper sticker that says, Jesus
I'm holy.
Is my co-pilot, and you're screaming at people through the window. And somebody thinks you stole somebody's car.
I didn't want to stop screaming at people, so I took the bumper sticker off.
It's easier to do.
Are you going to sing, Tom Price? Are you going to sing Unforgettable?
You need to talk to my wife. She's the singer in the family.
She is a good singer, too.
You don't want to hear me sing.
She is big time good.
The best.
She really is.
The best.
All right. Unoffendable. That's what we should be. The book is Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple. Our guest is Dr. Ray Grenzen. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with your calls and questions after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
I guess it's kind of fun Friday here on Catholic Answers Live, and what could be more fun than being at the National Radio Conference, EWTN, having Tom Price hanging around singing Unforgettable to you during the breaks, and having Dr. Ray Grenzen on for your guest.
Who is pretty forgettable.
But unoffendable, apparently. Dr. Ray's book is Thinking Like Jesus. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. Let's start out with Elizabeth in California, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 130. Elizabeth, your question for Dr. Ray Grenzen.
Hi, Dr. Grenzen. Your book, I read it in one sitting. It was amazing. I heard you on the radio about the book, and your book is just like you. So thank you for the book. It was very enlightening.
Now, Elizabeth, you sound holier. You didn't used to sound that holy. And obviously, you're an incredible judge of character.
Okay, that sounds like you, doctor. That's what I want to talk to you about, the sarcasm in the book. So there's a lot of it. I have a Muslim friend. By the way, I'm in the RCIA program. I'm Protestant, going to change Catholic. I have a Muslim friend that wants me to let him read this book because I actually talked to him about some sections in it. But here's my concern. Would a non-Catholic getting this book really get the sarcasm pieces, or would they maybe possibly think what you were saying was actually the truth and not sarcasm?
Well, Elizabeth, I'd like to think what you call sarcasm is witty repartee, all right? However, if you give it to your Muslim friend, you give it with a caution. You simply say, this book was written for Christians, and it gives you a little insight into how we think, how we look at things, and how we want to relate to people in some kind of love. If that's okay with you, here you go. That's all you got to do.
So part two of the question is, it would be helpful to non-Christians as well. Are you going to release a version that identifies the sarcastic pieces so they really get it and well, like really the, get the, you know,
I tell you, I like sarcasm. You didn't read it. And Dara didn't read it. My wife didn't read it.
That's sarcastic. Is he being sarcastic?
Three people read it.
I prefer to think of it as irony.
Cute.
Ironic, charming.
Charming humor.
Wit.
I like charming humor.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say that, Elizabeth? Charming humor is a better way to put it.
Oh, it was great. And then my last question is this. Was that a true story, the cop pulling the Christian over to check to see if he stole the car from a Christian?
No, it isn't. It was a very common story I heard back when I was in the evangelical world where they talked about that. And I think I said something, the story is told or something like that, that makes it sound like, hey, you don't have to believe this one. But it reveals a good point, doesn't it?
I shared that story with a lot of people that haven't heard it. It was a riot.
Yeah, I appreciate all the kind words here, Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth, are you expecting to be received into the church at Easter this year? Or next year?
Yes, that's the plan, yes.
Well, praise God for that. We'll be better off when we have you.
Well, you're going to be a lot better now, Elizabeth. You might not have been as good then. You read the book a couple of times, so she should probably be at the top of her RCIA class, I would think.
I would imagine.
Probably.
I don't know if they do class rankings for RCIA. I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, you get vetted for holiness.
You look like you're on your way to kind of mid-level purgatory. You look like you're going straight to heaven. Okay. Elizabeth, thanks very much for the call. Our number here, 888-318-7884, to talk to the charmingly witty Dr. Ray Guarendi, 888-318-7884. Do you know the motto of the Sarcasm Club?
I don't. I really, and I don't care either.
Like we want you for a member.
Yeah, for sure.
We have a question from within the room. Let's do that. Will you just identify yourself, where you're from, why you're wearing the armor of God on your shirt?
Hey, how you doing? I'm Tom. I'm part of the Armor of God Catholic Radio in Central Texas.
Whenever I'm in Central Texas, I put on 106.9 FM.
KOOV.
That's right.
Put on the armor of God.
Put on the armor of God. But
hey, so Dr. A, we always hear about seeing Christ in others. So can you give us a couple of simple techniques to do just that?
It's easy for me to see Christ in poor people. It's easy for me to see Christ in people who have developmental delays or serious physical handicaps. You know why, Tom? Because they're not obnoxious to me. The hard part is for me to see Christ in people who are obnoxious toward me, in their words, in their conduct, in their difficulty, in their interpersonal friction. That is the hard part. So I always tell our Lord, I say, Lord, I can see you in people in poverty. You know, as a matter of fact, I can pretty much see Christ in 1.2 billion people in China. I like them all. But that lady next door, you know, that one right there is the one. And if you keep reminding yourself, yeah, we got to see Christ in the obnoxious. That's hard. But that's a step toward holiness, you know what I mean?
Yes, did you want to follow up, Tom?
No.
Okay. All right, I didn't want to share what you wanted to do.
To springboard off of that.
Yes.
Toxic people. Have you heard that phrase?
Oh, yes.
The shrinks and the counselors?
Right.
Toxic people.
Right.
Now, what does that to you mean, Si?
I guess.
How do you like being interviewed? You know what I mean?
It's your show,
and I'm interviewing you.
Okay, well, having been called a toxic person several times in my life, I would assume that that is a person who is constantly making trouble where there doesn't need to be trouble. That seems to be the general meaning.
And when the shrinks use it, oftentimes they say that person has to be out of your life.
Right.
Get that person out of your life. They are so unsettling to your peace.
Right.
And your contentment as a human being. Get them out.
Yes.
Two things about toxic people. Well, first of all, we Christians aren't really allowed to have toxic people other than somebody that might be dangerous.
Yeah.
Ourselves or our kids or seriously abusive. Okay. I got that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, that's not people in our lives that we call toxic. The people in our lives we call toxic are difficult. They're unpleasant.
Yeah. Right.
They don't like me. I don't necessarily like them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first thing. We've expanded the definition of toxic. That's one. Christians don't follow the counselor definition.
Yeah, right.
If we do what we talked about 10 minutes ago, and you probably have forgotten because you got that look in your face like you forgot already, but I'll retell you here that if we can be less easily offended, don't get an accumulation of offenses from other people so that we can roll with them a little easier, then less people are toxic. They may be unpleasant.
I see.
They may be someone I don't like to be around all that much.
Right.
They may be someone that makes me anxious. Mm-hmm. They're not toxic. One more point. What if it's your mother? What if it is your wife?
Mm-hmm.
What if it is your brother? You know, if the mailman's toxic, okay, I'll just wait until he drops the mail in there and heads three houses down. I don't have to interact with him.
Yes.
My mother, I do.
Right.
My father-in-law, I do.
Yeah.
So I'd better really work on reducing their toxicity down to difficult.
Yeah, right. Okay, so so this is one of those places then where Christ's teaching to us, the way that he's calling us to think, actually is at odds with what a psychologist might
tell. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I cannot tell you how many people have come into my office and said, well, I was advised by a previous counselor not to have anything to do with that person. They disturbed my peace.
Yeah.
Well, who's the person? It's my brother.
Uh-huh.
Well, wait a minute. You know, does he live in another state? No, he lives 3 miles away. What about Christmas Eve? Well, if he goes, I don't go. Now, how does your mother feel about that? That her two sons, and you, the Christian one, are the one who says, "I'm not going."
Yeah.
Well, my counselor told me that.
Right.
What do you think about your counselor's respect for your moral beliefs?
Yeah.
You see what happens?
Yeah.
It's very easy to take counseling ideas and put them over top of what we're asked as Christians.
Right, but we are definitely a society that thinks the experts know. We put it in the hands of the expert. The experts say this, so...
That's right. And I run into that myself. I mean, I'm supposed to be one of those guys.
Uh-huh.
I got letters after my name, you know, PhD, permanent head damage. I got that.
I didn't know that that's
that's what it stands
really?
For. Yeah.
I learn when I'm around you.
Okay. That's the danger. There's been studies done. There's something called the therapeutic alliance. You know what that is?
No, I don't.
It's been identified as the main curative factor in a therapeutic relationship.
Okay.
So... Not necessarily what my particular approach is, but whether you, Si, as my client, see me as essentially respecting you on your side, and here's the big one, understanding and respecting your moral world belief.
Oh, yes, I see.
You come into me and you say, my marriage is awful.
Yeah.
I've been struggling for 7 years in this marriage. I really want to leave. I'm as miserable as I could possibly be, but I'm Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm committed for life, and I'm going to do everything I can to make this a home for my children. And I, as a therapist, say, you got to rethink that. You know, I think you really owe it to yourself for your own personal well-being and peace of mind and health.
Right.
Because perhaps maybe your children will do better if you're not in the home and you're not there with the kind of friction that you have with your wife. You see, I'm not respecting your moral system.
No, right.
Instead of saying, you don't want to leave, let me help you to be less distressed by this situation.
Yeah.
No. I'm going to tell you what I think you need to do to fix yourself.
Yeah.
It's a disrespect for what you're telling me.
Well, I hope I'm not too wandering too far afield here, but this really puts me in the mind of in the state of California that trying to outlaw, for example, a therapist being able to talk to a person who comes in and says, "I have an attraction to people of the same sex. This is I don't want that attraction. I want to be cured of it." And California says, "No. You can't."
Yes,
you
can't help that. I'm shocked by that. Because psychology is a profession that puts an awful lot of emphasis on personal desire. And if the person comes in and says, "I don't like this about me," whatever that is,
yeah,
then do I say, "Well, too bad.
Yeah,
you have to learn to like that about you. You have to live with it."
Right.
And even though you may say, "Well, my moral religious beliefs, which trump that,"
yeah,
"I want to learn how to somehow live within those." No. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. 888-318-7884 is our number. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. The book is Thinking Like Jesus. I wonder if we're getting if the influence of a psychologist can be to make us think less like Jesus because of these fancy
that
phrases.
That can happen.
Yep. Like toxic person, where instead of thinking like Jesus, I'm now thinking like a modern person who says, "Oh, it's all about whether my equilibrium is, being offended."
Well, you're flinging around those terms pretty easily. How many years you've been in therapy?
I've been fired by my therapist.
Your therapist going, "Oh man, I can't handle you."
Yeah, right. I can hear the music. We got to take a quick break. We'll get more of your calls for Dr. Ray Guarendi, and I will try to use more big words to impress him, because that is in fact what I'm doing right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Call now, Catholic Answers Live.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humani Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable: Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. We asked five distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humani Vitae from five perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest here as we... I guess we're in the final hour or so of the National Catholic Radio Conference sponsored by EWTN. This is number 19. How many of you, do you know how far back you go? How many of them have you gone to?
You mean talking age-wise, how far back I go?
No, I know.
Personal, isn't it?
Right from day one. But no, I mean, how far back with this conference do you go?
Four or five years at least.
Four or five years?
Yeah. And I'm a little offended because some of the bigwigs at the conference. I finally got on the last hour of the conference. You know, they kind of kept me hidden in right field.
Yeah, from our perspective, it was like, well, we almost made it out of the conference without having Dr.
I
Ray.
I showed up. I said, hey, you guys, do you have another guest?
No such luck. I have to tell you, I had a weird introduction to this conference last year because I was sitting at the desk doing the radio program, and you came across. Just across my field of vision, dressed in chaps and a cowboy hat, looking a little bit like Woody from Toy Story. That is the weirdest thing.
Let me just put it to you this way. That was not my idea.
Oh, was it really?
No.
Oh!
No.
Well,
I was threatened with some kind of excommunication or something.
If you didn't play
along?
That was not
my idea.
Well,
by the way, I got a call once. This is years ago from Jimmy Akin.
Okay.
You know how smart Jimmy is. He's just like a walking encyclopedia
yes,
of this stuff.
Right.
He starts off, I'm not making this up, he starts off the call with, Ray, I have a question for you.
Wow.
So I tell people now when Jimmy Akin has a question, he comes
calls,
to me.
He calls Dr.
Yeah.
Ray. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So now, is that how he came to understand transubstantiation finally? Huh?
He's been a little slippery on some of his explanations, and I'll usually call him and
straighten him out. Listen,
yeah,
Akin.
Yeah.
Grendy here, and I got that PhD after my name.
Right.
I want to thank a few more folks in the room. The folks from Catholic Spirit Radio in Bloomington, Illinois. You said among the cornfields of Illinois. Is that correct? Yep. Not among the concrete canyons of Chicago. You're out in the right. And also Aquinas Communications in Dubuque, Iowa.
Those are very smart people. Aquinas Communications.
Very
smart people.
You would have to be to take that name. I mean, I don't know. Maybe more, even smarter than the Augustine Communications.
Close. It's neck and neck.
It's neck and neck with those guys. But Duns Scotus Communications is definitely lower. Yeah, you got to really be confident to take the name of Thomas Aquinas.
Almost as bad as thinking like Jesus title.
And that, by the way, is the name of Dr. Ray's latest book, Thinking Like Jesus. Let's go to Josh in Vancouver, Washington. Josh, you have a question for Dr. Ray Garandi?
Yeah,
hi, Josh.
Hey, Dr. Ray.
Hey, what's up, Josh?
My question is, I have a cousin who suffered a lot of abuse as a child, and as a result of that, she became extremely impressionable. She kind of takes on the beliefs of whoever she happens to be around. And I'm Catholic, and she has been around me over the past several months and is thinking of converting. But I'm wondering, is there a way I can, you know, confront her or give her the ability to think critically? Because I don't want her to become Catholic only to be around someone else in a few months and jump ship.
Well, first of all, Josh, I'm a little disappointed in you because you said she's been around you for several months. And she's just thinking about becoming Catholic. I usually consider myself a failure if somebody's been around me more than 2 weeks and then doesn't want to become Catholic. So, Josh, I don't know what the problem is here, but it is taking you a while to influence her. But we're going to let that one slide, okay, buddy?
That's not sarcasm, by
no,
the way.
No,
Ray
no,
does
no,
not do
no,
sarcasm.
No.
That is what we call charming, witty banter.
Yes. Here's the thing, Josh. Get inside her head. In other words, okay, she likes you. She likes the way you conduct yourself. She would like some of that. Good. It's a great start. However, ask her, why? Why do you want to do this? I guess a little bit of a challenge. Why are you even looking at the Catholic faith? What is it about the Catholic faith? Get her to explain it and defend her motives as opposed to you providing her motives and information. Make it be her own, okay? And then if she has questions or things she doesn't understand or she looks at you, ask her straight out, Josh. Say, are you attracted to the Catholic faith because you like the way I live or the way I do it? Or is there something about the truth there that's attracting you, whether it would be me or some schmoke like Ray Garandi, okay? That's what I would do. I'd really want to get inside her head on how she's being attracted.
What do you think, Josh?
All right, that sounds like really good advice. Thanks, doctor.
Okay, buddy.
Thank you very much, Josh, for the call.
You know, when I was in the evangelical world.
Yes.
Now, this kind of ties into what Josh was saying.
Okay.
We used to always have this recurrent question in Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Why are people so upset at Christians?
Yeah.
Why do people react so negatively to Christians? The common answer, well, they're convicted. They're convicted because they know down deep that our moral stances are correct. Mm-hmm. And they may not have those moral stances. I remember thinking, okay, in the best case scenario, I hope that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because they see me as holy? Or is it because they see me as a jerk? You know, I can come off holier than thou.
Yes.
And really put people off.
Right.
So am I holy or am I a jerk? That's the question we all got to answer.
Yeah, there's a certain way, there's a kind of self-justification, saying, well, I am, yeah. It's my Christianity.
Yeah, that's right.
It's setting people off, and then I don't have to examine myself and say, how am I behaving?
I've had waitresses tell me, they'll see somebody bow their heads in a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, most of the time when I was in the evangelical world, I got to tell you, the evangelicals prayed more than we Catholics did.
Okay.
You didn't see too many signs of the cross before blessings in a restaurant. And they'll tell me, I ask them, well, do those people who do that tip you more? No. Some of them don't tip me at all. They leave me tracks.
Yeah.
Okay. See, so one thing I stopped doing is I don't say blessing at a restaurant because I have to give more as a tip.
Yeah.
So you know, I just make sure they don't see me.
Right. You know. Yeah. That's right. But that's striking, though. Like that you have, in a certain sense, let's say I make the sign of the cross before I eat my grits. Well, okay, I've made a...
You don't eat grits in Southern California. Come on. Oh, we're trying to culturally appropriate Alabama.
The grits, it's like the grits capital of the world there. It's just that we call the grits hash browns. And I'm sorry, Texas people. I was trying to impress you and Dr. Ray. What's a hot sauce? What's the stuff they put on the hot sauce there?
I don't know,
but I don't eat any of it. So, all right, he was right. I don't eat grits, but... let's say I decided this day to impress my friends from Texas, and I was eating grits. I blessed myself, and then
You're mean to the waitress.
I'm just the same
you're
as everybody
not,
else.
You're
just
mean to the waitress. That's
yeah.
She says something to you, and you say, well, bring it. Last time I was here, it was cold.
Yeah.
So bring it this time, would you?
Right.
Dave Barry, the comedian, he says, you can always tell somebody's character by how they treat a restaurant server. He says, never fails. If they're obnoxious to a restaurant server, that's kind of I look down on you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I had a theology professor at Boston College, and now you're going to say, well, you should have gone to a Catholic school or something. But this was a wonderful man, and he always used to say to us two things that he always used to say. One, if you need a college degree to understand it, it's not really good news. And the other thing he said is, you go to dinner, the true Christian is the one who reaches for his wallet first. And I think that's what you're saying, is it's actually about how you behave. It's not just about this. I speak up for Jesus everywhere I go, and I'm always ready to correct other people's morals and direct other people's lives.
Holier than thou can put people off so badly. Look what our Lord, he reserved his harshest words for those guys.
Yeah, right. Right. Amen. All right. 888-318-7884, the number. Dr. Ray Guarendi, our guest. Anonymous, you are up next. Are you there with us, Anonymous?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, your question for Dr. Ray.
This is back on forgiveness and wondering how that relates to narcissist marital relationships.
Well, I noticed... I'm sorry, dear. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Well, I'm kind of a little confused. How did you decide that the person you're married to is a narcissist?
Not... And I didn't believe it for a year. The counselor's categories, the denial, a lot of denial, and there's a lot of lying, manipulation also.
Is this in marriage counseling, or did you go yourself and describe your spouse to the counselor?
No, this is marriage counseling. I didn't describe my spouse, I would relate situations. And when I was told this, I ignored it for a year. And
I'm glad you did.
Then I put it together that the behavior, yes, it fits what the person's telling me. And it's a lot of work with the approach that the husband has, as well as the health impacts after 10 years of trying to function.
Let me help you out on that. What you did, what your counselor did, in putting the name narcissist on your husband's behavior did not give you an explanation. It kind of sounds like you're saying, well, good, I've got an explanation now, and given this psychological problem, that makes them harder to forgive or harder to live with or harder to tolerate, etc. All you got was a name. You already knew all this behavior before. For you, maybe it was some sense of comfort because they said, well, this is what's wrong with this guy. He's a narcissist. And narcissists do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. And you say, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what he does. From a Christian perspective, it doesn't matter what you call him. What matters is how you can live with him as best you can in your own peace. A lot of times people will say to me, I finally know the explanation for why my child is this way. It's oppositional defiant disorder. I finally know why my spouse is so difficult to live with. They are antisocial personality, borderline personality, hysterical personality, etc. All that is a label. It summarizes a whole lot of disparate behavior that's been going on for a long time. Your question was, how do you forgive somebody that's a narcissist the same way you forgive somebody that's not a narcissist? You know what they do. I will tell you this. In marriages, it is easy to personalize. In other words, I would guess that when your husband does what he does, you feel bad. You feel attacked. You feel put down. You feel unappreciated. You feel scolded. You feel he's acting like he's in superior to your inferiority. So you take it personal. If you just look at it as, well, if he is in fact a narcissist, like the counselor said, then some of this problem is his. I don't have to absorb all of this because this is coming from his insecurities or his hurts or his short temper or whatever it is. In marriages where someone says, I can't live with that person anymore, much of the time it is because they take what that person is doing and they really, really put it upon themselves in a personal way and say, how could he talk to me that way? How could he say those things about me? How could he not see what he's like? How could he not see all I do for him? Well, if you recognize that he doesn't because he is who he is, whatever personality problems he has, at the very least, you won't feel quite as bad.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And thank you for the book, Thinking Like Jesus. I've wanted to get it for months, and I hope I can do that this weekend.
You're welcome.
Anonymous, thank you very, very much for your call. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Ray Guarendi on Catholic Answers Live, live from the National Catholic Radio Conference, EWTN, Birmingham, Alabama, right after this.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
When I get up in the morning, I turn the radio on, listen to the Mass, listen to the early shows. When I transition to my automobile, I flip it over on my iPhone, then start listening to it on the web. And then when I get in the car, I actually listen to it all the way to work. When I get to work, I actually even listen to it online while I'm sitting at my desk. I just love EWTN.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information, or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. I am joined, I was going to say in studio, but it's not in studio. It's out of studio by Dr. Ray Guarendi. We are together at the National
Catholic We're having Catholic an Radio. Out of studio experience.
I like out of studio experiences, too. It's all right to get out and see the world. Our number, 888-31-TRUTH, if you want to talk with Dr. Ray. Dr. Ray, I have a
Is this how you're sneaking in some personal counseling side?
I feel like I'm just getting a lot of stuff taken care of during this hour. Yeah.
And I want to say something. A number of the people at Catholic Answers did make that request and
said,
as best I can. You want to see the petition?
Help him out. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was concerned that Anonymous, who called about the narcissist, might be assistant producer Marie back in the studio. I thought maybe.
Did she hear you?
Hey, I've got an idea. I'll just call Anonymous.
Marie, I don't care what all these people say about you. I think you're a nice person.
Marie, we say nothing but lovely things about you. Okay, so here's my question for you. It strikes me that in order to do what seems to me central to this idea of thinking like Christ and behaving like a disciple of Christ towards other people, I have to stop taking so many things personally. I got to stop thinking that I'm so special and precious. But this strikes me that this takes a very strong core of my person to do that, an interior strength. And I wonder, as a Catholic, you're both a Catholic and a PhD psychologist. What's the role of the sacraments in building up that interior of myself?
That interior strength does not come naturally.
Ah.
It doesn't come naturally. Okay. Now, obviously, there are people who can get there through scratching and clawing their way up the psychological mountain.
Okay.
Take a lot longer.
Yeah.
Okay. With the grace of God, you can get there quicker. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the sacraments do is they give you a realistic view of yourself. For example, people who take things personally oftentimes are, I hate to use this generic word, but insecure.
Yes.
They're unsure of themselves.
Right.
So therefore they need, to use another psychological word, affirmation. And when that doesn't come, then they start to personalize. They start to absorb this stuff and feel rotten. Mm-hmm. Christians have a self-image that is unsurpassed. If I, Ray Guarendi, say, Ray Guarendi is a wonderful human being. Ray Guarendi's a good guy. Yeah. And other people should recognize that Ray Guarendi's a good guy.
Uh-huh.
Who's making the judgment?
Ray Guarendi.
Ray Guarendi. Ray Guarendi could be a jerk. I don't know if I have any credibility.
Yeah, right.
But the God of the universe, for a Christian, says you are infinitely valuable because you're my child.
Yes.
So therefore, whatever others say or do toward you doesn't have quite the same impact. You don't have to wrestle with your own self-image because you already got it.
Yes.
It comes from God. The grace of God comes through the sacraments. Okay. That's a big factor here. Yeah, I can acknowledge that there are qualities in me that other people might observe, and I, in my more honest moments, would have to say, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, right, right.
But at the same time, I don't have to say, that makes me bad.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me an awful person. I can say, yes, that is part of who I am. Thank God I have an infinite self-image. He gives it to me. I don't have to have it.
Right.
I don't have to take a poll of 100 people and hope that 72 of them think I'm a nice guy.
It strikes me that one of the things that Catholics don't do or have lost or something, or just don't believe that the sacraments actually do work, though. It's not that it's just I go to Mass because I'm obligated to go to Mass or because I get something out of it or because of the community, but the actual work is being done in my mind and my body and my soul by the sacraments.
It has to fight a human tendency. Anything that's repetitive for us from a purely human perspective tends to lose emotional, intellectual impact. Mm-hmm. It does. That's why you look at 16-year-olds in Mass, and some of them look like pillars of salt. Why? Because in their mind, this is the same stuff over again. So the repetition of it all, even though the grace is there, the human tendency to just get kind of lazy about this is always lurking.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you have a question, you are welcome to call. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. And in this book, Thinking Like Jesus, I noticed that there are certain catchphrases. A narcissist is one of them. A toxic person is one of them. Another catchphrase that you mentioned in the book, my comfort zone.
Yeah. Oh. Therapists will often tell you, you don't have to step outside your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's something that makes you ill at ease, anxious, then you need to stay within your comfort zone. Christians should have a very wide comfort zone. I know I should visit my aunt. She's dying. But I don't really know what to say to her, you know? And, mm-hmm. and nursing homes have always bothered me, the smells and everything. And I would like to go, but that's just not me. You know, that's just not me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, a Christian is asked to step outside their comfort zone. You know, was it our Lord's comfort zone to touch the leper? Nobody wanted to touch the leper.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So he stepped outside his quote-unquote comfort zone and touched the leper. So we as Christians should be constantly looking to step outside our comfort zone, because all too often, comfort zone is a justification. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do something that I don't like, even though, for example, well, you know, I shouldn't have said what I said to my wife. I just shouldn't have said that. What I'll do is I'll act like I'm sorry. I'll be much more pleasant. I'll be kinder. And she'll notice. She'll notice that then, in fact, I'm really sorry. I don't have to say it. Okay? Yeah. Because saying I'm sorry really is hard for me. It really is. You know, mm-hmm. and I'm an insecure guy, so I'll just act sorry. You know, I'll go get her flowers.
Right,
something
right.
like that. But in fact, stepping outside my comfort zone would actually say I'm sorry, and watch her fall over. Watch her faint. You know?
Because he's
a dual
he's
benefit.
Sorry.
That's right.
right. Well, so I guess when I look at the whole picture of what you're saying in this book, thinking like Jesus,
you can't
by
say
the way,
that. You can't say that. You can't say what you're hearing, what I'm hearing you say. That is a patented phrase. You're not trained to say it.
You're exactly okay, right. That is outside. Okay, so
it's outside your comfort zone.
Okay, so what my radar is, and I don't know how to even say it, but there's a way in which it strikes me that modern psychology and the modern psychologist is trying to make life less challenging for me, maybe, and that Christ is not trying to make life less challenging
That's
for
exactly
me.
That's exactly right. If you wanted to...
See, I am qualified,
well,
Dr.
Well,
Ray.
You've been
I'm
listening to me
qualified.
For an hour. If you're not yeah. smarter, I'd be shocked.
I am a lot smarter. My IQ went way
yeah,
up.
For heaven's sake. Yeah. Because what happens is...
I might be in triple
Lord
digits
says,
now.
Look what our Lord says.
Yeah.
When you do what you're supposed to do, just say we're worthless servants.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of psychology is that? What kind of human resource program did this guy have?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
When St. Paul says, esteem others more highly than yourself. Ah, what? This dude didn't even have a bachelor's in psychology.
Right.
What's he talking about?
Yeah.
You're right. There are places where it really clashes. Do a computer search.
Yeah.
Self-esteem and children. Last I looked, 91 million options.
Okay.
Self-esteem is the preeminent moral virtue. Do a computer search for humility.
And then,
it's a fraction. It's a fraction thereof.
Right.
And my humility is something I'm very proud of. So,
worked hard on that.
Yeah, I did.
let's see if we can get Annie from Ohio in before we have to go. Annie, I have to say, it will have to be somewhat brief. If you could formulate your question quickly for Dr. Ray, we'll get a response from him.
Hey, Annie.
Okay. I have someone that says that I've done all these terrible things to them, and yet I don't remember them, and they say because I don't remember them means that it didn't happen.
Two things, Annie. One, probably what they're doing, at least in some of the cases, is that they are attributing to you bad motives, and therefore they took offense at what you did, and you didn't mean anything by it. Okay? That's the first thing. The second thing you do, dear, is you say, well, please tell me what I did. I don't want to do it again. Tell me what it is. Now, if they throw this one at you, if they say, well, if you don't remember, I don't think I have to tell you. if you don't even care enough about me to remember how you hurt me, mm-hmm. then, Annie, I don't know what to tell you there, dear. I would just say, well, I'm sorry for whatever it was. Because I think what's happening is you say, what do you do with somebody who blames you? Well, it sounds like they're blaming you for not remembering. See, they're interpreting that as you don't even care enough to remember. Is that the case, Annie?
Don't think so.
Wait a minute. I don't want to end the show being wrong. Annie, are you saying I'm wrong? I'm offended. I'm offended.
No. Yeah. I think you're great. I just love you. I really do. And I think you're hilarious. I just love everything you tell everybody.
Everything I tell everybody? Ooh.
You
must agree with me then.
I do.
You've heard him talk about himself then, huh?
I appreciate you.
Bless you, Annie.
Ministry.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Who does Annie think we're talking to right now? Does she know that this is
Aiken.
Dr.
You think it's Aiken.
So she thinks it's Jimmy. Annie, we're just full of it here, full of maybe end-of-the-week humors, but we're delighted to have you call. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Ray Grandy, thank you
Always
very much.
Always a pleasure. This is really the first time you and I have been like in person many times
we've
talked.
I know, yeah. And I really enjoyed it, Dr. Ray. Thinking Like Jesus, The Psychology of a Faithful Disciple is the book. It's from the EWTN Press. You can get it wherever fine Catholic books are sold. You can probably get it where mediocre Catholic books are sold.
Just pitiful Catholic books are sold.
Again, thank you, Dr. Ray. Thanks, everybody, who came to join us here at the radio conference. Thank you to Tom Price, Jack Williams, Mike Peters here at EWTN for making us feel so welcome and part of the family here at EWTN. Thank you for our listeners for joining us. We'll be with you again, God willing, on Monday on Catholic Answers Live. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.